It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, May 25th. I'm Patricia Naft. San Miguel County elected officials have determined Amy Levick will serve as interim county commissioner. The decision comes on the heels of Elaine Fisher's resignation due to health issues. CODO's Caitlin Cattell has more.
Five people threw their hats in the ring to serve out the remainder of Fisher's term. Levick won with 11 votes. Fisher recommended Levick in her letter of resignation she sent earlier this month. Here's Commissioner Joan May reading from that letter.
My deep regret that I must resign is eased by the comforting thought that Amy Levick would carry on the tradition of leadership that I hope I have instilled during my 15-year tenure on the San Miguel County Board of County Commissioners.
Levick will fill Fisher's seat as District 1 Commissioner, which encompasses the town of Telluride. The term officially ends in January. The candidates had a chance to speak before the vote took place. Here's Levick.
I was asked to apply for this by my dear friend Elaine Fisher, and it's both with sadness and with honor that I've done that. The reason that I'm interested in doing this has to do with my career of public service. Almost 29 years in the county and involvement in both government and other aspects of the community.
In 1987, she moved to Telluride and served as the planning director for the town. She's also served on town council and as mayor. Levick was officially sworn in to her new commissioner position Tuesday morning. The primary election is June 28th. Levick has not indicated she will run as a write-in candidate. For KOTO News, I'm Caitlin Cattell.
Independence Pass, located on Highway 82 outside of Aspen, is scheduled to open Thursday. State transportation officials say crews have been working for several weeks to ready the road. The pass typically closes in November and reopens the Thursday before Memorial Day. New Mexico is suing the Environmental Protection Agency and the owners of a Colorado gold mine. As the Denver Post reports, the state is demanding action, contending the Gold King mine disaster caused catastrophic harm to downstream communities and ecosystems. Last August, the spill sent 3 million gallons of toxic wastewater into the Animas River and its tributaries. It was accidentally triggered by EPA workers doing remediation at the mine outside of Silverton. The lawsuit doesn't specify monetary damages. However, the state's attorneys say New Mexico should get at least $7 million to cover expenses associated with the disaster. In 1992, Colorado voters passed a measure to forbid the state and local governments from protecting gay, lesbian, and bisexual people from discrimination. It was called Amendment 2, and gay rights groups sued to overturn the amendment that was pushed by evangelical Christian groups in Colorado Springs. 20 years ago this month, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the amendment, finding it violated the U.S. Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. KUNC's Jackie Fortner spoke with Mary Celeste and one of the attorneys that helped win the case back then.
Mary, can you take me back to 1996? What was the core issue?
The core issue was twofold. It was a political issue in that the Amendment 2 was being cloned, so all eyes were on the result of the U.S. Supreme Court, because if we lost there, then these provisions, these initiatives would come forward all across the country. So political also was the boycott that Colorado was experiencing as a result of the amendment passing. The other was, of course, legal. It was a very pivotal moment in LGBT legal rights. Everyone was very tense. All the national organizations were involved, but it was pretty much a homegrown Amendment 2 challenge, and we were all waiting to see what the Supreme Court was going to do. We were hoping that it was going to be at least a 5-4, and of course we were ecstatic that it was 6-3 and that we won.
So you said that it was a homegrown initiative in order to try to take down Amendment 2, but I mean, evangelical Christian groups spearheaded it, and Colorado voters at the time, you know, agreed with them. Amendment 2 was popular.
Well, it didn't win by that much. I think it was close to 54% to 46%. some of the propaganda that came out during that time, which we used in the case itself, was very misleading and very hurtful. And I think that people were just misinformed.
What do you think the world would look like if you had lost the case?
Very different, because that was the first positive U.S. Supreme Court LGBT decision ever. And all of the decisions prior to it, like the sodomy case in Georgia, the Bowers case, was negative. Everything was negative, negative, negative. And if we continued along that line, I don't think we would have, as quickly at least, been able to overturn the nationwide sodomy laws with the Lawrence v. Texas case. We would have not been able to pave the way to the military cases, to the marriage cases, and now, to some extent, the religious freedom cases that are being developed.
So I'm sure, as you know, right now, there's a battle brewing over the legality in North Carolina that restricts, you know, where transgender people can use public bathrooms and locker rooms. Are you surprised that, you know, 20 years after the Amendment 2 ruling, that court fights like this are still occurring?
No, I'm not surprised, because this country is very well based upon continued exercise of everyone's rights, both religious freedom rights, both gay rights, both rights on the basis of color. These things have to develop over time. You can't expect that everybody at every single moment in our country is going to be free from any kind of discrimination. So it's a constant battle and a constant need to be ready at any time to bring forward legal actions to protect.
Mary Celeste was one of the attorneys to win a U.S. Supreme Court verdict overturning Amendment 2 in Colorado 20 years ago. It was the first time the Supreme Court had recognized gay rights in U.S. law.
That was KUNC's Jackie Fortner. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.